Would you turn your Bibles to a Good Mother's Day thought for us today? I looked far and wide in the book of Genesis. I came up with a text for us. It's Genesis, the 27th chapter, the 11th verse. Now you're going to say, what in the world? Here's what the verse says in Genesis chapter 27, verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man." There you go. Happy Mother's Day. That's a joke. It's just a little bit of a joke. But I was thinking, what a bizarre statement to be made. My brother's a hairy man. And that's, of course, what Esau meant. He meant, it literally translate hairy, that he was a hairy dude. And I'm a smooth man. And that was a great play on words because Jacob was slick. He was a manipulator. He was smooth. But his skin was smooth compared to Harry, his brother Harry. But that really isn't the verse that we want to look at. There, I was playing with your melon just a little bit. I saw in the speech from the President of the United States, I believe it was yesterday, he said this that caught my attention. Throughout our lives, mothers are there with an encouraging word, a sympathetic ear, and a tender heart. They set our direction in life, and from time to time, they've been known to correct our course. That's mom. Our real text is the Proverbs, the 31st chapter, about a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? What are the attributes of a woman that is a godly, virtuous woman? What should young women esteem as virtuous and should they try to attain? And to all of you that are moms and going to be mothers, this short text is probably one of the greatest texts in the world for you to read and use as your goal and your standard that you're going to reach towards to be a virtuous woman. And I'll read these verses to you, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman for her or wife, a virtuous wife or woman? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. She will prosper. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax, and she willingly works with her hands. She's creative. She takes care of things in her own home. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is still night and early, and she provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field, so she's business-minded. She's able to invest and understand the world around her. She buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength. She strengthens her arms, so she works out at the gym, I guess, huh? She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. Now, there's a lot of metaphor to that, but I can remember as a teenager how my mother's bedroom light stayed on until I got home. Her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the poor, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. Even if she has a small budget, she dresses them like royalty. She sews it herself. She picks out the material. She is not afraid of snow because she makes warm clothes as well as she does for the summer and the spring. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is the fine linen and purple, and purple all through the Old and New Testament both was a sign of royalty. Her husband is known in the gates, and the gates is where the city council met in every town and village. He was respected. So the virtuous woman picked the right man, a man that was a productive man like herself. Her husband's known in the gates. When she sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and she sells them. So she's very industrious, has her own little business to help bring in money to support the family. She supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. The future is not going to destroy her or frighten her because she is a virtuous woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom. On her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So the mother, the wife, is just a godly woman. She's always looking after her children and what she can do to bless them. She does not eat the bread of idleness. She's probably not a soap opera queen. Her children rise up. And this is the kids, and this is what we should do about our mothers. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. My daughters have done well. Many daughters have done well. But you excel them all. The virtuous woman excels all women. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain or it's passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Otherwise, let everybody in the city realize that she's a virtuous woman. Sandy has always said that this is somewhat upside down, that this last statement, let her works praise her in the gates, should probably be at the top, and then everything that we just read shows what a virtuous woman she is praising her. But the Lord has it so it builds up that a woman who is a godly woman is a woman who is going to be recognized everywhere. And for a man, all of you that are married to a godly woman, you've seen that she's a godly mother, and you do understand that her children and your children praise her. You know, that was all a new thing for men, because Adam was the first man, and he didn't have a wife, and there weren't children yet. So he grew with this thing, and God went to Adam one day and said, Adam, I see that all the animals have a mate except you, so I'm going to give you a woman. And Adam said, what in the world is a woman? And the Lord looked at him and said, a woman is a human being just like you, except she'll have a beautiful body that will be very pleasing to your eye. Her face will be beautiful. She'll always be wearing a smile. She'll be soft and warm to the touch. She'll be kind. She'll be in a good mood and happy all the time. And when you get home, why are you women laughing? That were women laughing. I didn't hear a man laugh there. So we'll start over. Her face will be beautiful. She'll always be wearing a smile. She'll be soft and warm to the touch. She'll be kind, good mood, happy all the time. And when you get home from work at night, she'll have a clean house filled with happy children waiting to see you. She'll lead you to the easy chair, take off your shoes, put on your slippers, and rub your feet. And then she'll put the remote in your hand and have you watch TV while she finishes up the gourmet meal she's been preparing for you all day. You'll eat an exquisitely romantic meal enhanced by candlelight. And Adam says to God, okay, that sounds like that's really going to be expensive. Well, will it cost a lot? And God said, oh, yes, it'll be really expensive. And Adam said, how much? And God said, an arm and a leg. And Adam said, wow, that's too much. What could I get for a rib? Happy Mother's Day, yes. Who can, verse 10, find a virtuous woman? Who? It's like a question being raised. And this was a man named Lemuel that wrote this Proverbs, the 31st chapter. King Lemuel, his mother had raised him to respect women, we understand. And so it is raised by this king. And he raises the 10th verse coming into the context. Who can find a virtuous woman? For a man, the price is far above rubies. You're spending your money in the wrong place. You need to find a virtuous woman. The heart of her husband does safely trust her. He doesn't have to worry about her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's what it says. I found that in the King James Version of the Bible, the word mothers, plural, is found 73 times, but the word mother, singular, is found 159 different times throughout the Bible. So well over 220-some different times you can find that mother is a very, very important subject to God and to the writers of the Scripture. And there are so many stories from the Old Testament to the New Testament about women that literally impacted the world just by being the mother of the family and loving her children, encouraging her children, pointing her children towards wisdom and towards a faith and a belief in God. And when these women were raised up throughout Israel in the Old Testament, the country prospered. Everything they did prospered because these women believed in the word of the Lord. There's three thoughts I'd like to leave you with today, and they're all based on quotations. The first thought is by John Feibig. The hand that rocks the cradle usually is attached to someone who isn't getting enough sleep. Now, those of you that are mommies, you know what it's like to raise the babies. And you that are dads, you know how many times that you woke up in the middle of the night and said, "Could you take care of that? I got to go to work tomorrow." And mom might have had to go to work too, but mom was always there. And to have the job and the responsibility of being a mother can be very, very tiring, especially when they're little babies and they're sick and there's fear and there's worry, and then they become pre-adolescent and then adolescent, and hormones change and competition happens between mother and children. I saw an article several times in several places. Wordage turned just a little bit by the same people. I can give you a source that you could look at and probably find it 10 different places, maybe one word juxtaposed somewhere else. But on the 30th of April, 2008, Fox News had an interview with Mrs. Hillary Clinton. And she said this, which immediately caught my attention. Then I read in a magazine, then I saw it in the newspaper, and then I saw it on the internet. And here's what she said. "I'm running for the toughest job in the world." That's her quote. And maybe some of you have heard that. In all due respect, in no way am I being negative about her. I just enjoyed hearing that thought. In all due respect, I think not. A single working mother has got to be the hardest job in the world. I honestly think it is. Now, not putting down being the President of the United States, I wouldn't have enough fuel in the brain to get me to the front lawn of the White House, let alone get in the Oval Office. But when you make $400,000 a year and you're assured of making tens of millions of dollars after your job of 4 years is over with, you'll be in every history book forever. You have control and power. You have bodyguards. Everybody does something for you for a four-year job. And yes, you are a diplomat and you're dealing with world issues that are amazing. I understand. I'm not putting down her statement. I'm just trying to say that being raised by a single working mom, I honestly think, and being a counselor to single working moms for almost 40 years, I can't imagine a harder job. And then I'd like to add a caveat to that, if I could. The hardest and toughest job in the world, from a Western mindset and from, you know, an American mindset, but being very aware of the cultures around the world having traveled, I'd have to say being a single working mother with a special needs child or children would have to be much more difficult than having $400 or $500 suits and having limousines take you places and your own jet waiting wherever you are and the best food and the most famous entertainers and politicians coming and working you. I think that you mothers, you deserve more than you have been shown. Now, an interesting thing is that for the last 5 years, it keeps popping up around Mother's Day, the worth of a mother. And I remember about 4 years and 3 years ago that a mother's duties would be about $63,000 to $68,000 a year if you paid her. I think that's really bogus. Then I saw last year it was $141,000. And that's without overtime. And we all know that moms start at 9 in the morning. They finish at 4:30. That was $141,000. I said, well, that's a pretty decent salary. You could buy four tanks of gas and get a condominium in San Diego at that kind of a deal. But now they say they're not sure. Yesterday, Dave Forrest and CBS, and they're saying they're really not sure, but in the ballpark. And they were just saying $100,000, but probably more. And then one of the commentators brought up, but what about the overtime? The overtime. There is no overtime for a mother. It's just mother. But yet, how many of us, even those of us that our mothers are in heaven right now, have taken for granted our mothers and the situations that our mothers raised us in? Some of you had great lives and all the accoutrements of a very nice home and everything was stable. But a good majority of you lost dad along the way and mom had to raise you. And maybe the child support didn't come in or the emotional support wasn't there for your mother. But your mother was always there. I mean, I was a full-blown adult in my late 40s, and it dawned on me that every wrestling match, football game, and track meet that I ran in high school, my brother, for 4 years, my mother was in the stands and in the stadiums. But yet she worked. I knew she went to work very early and took the bus to work. And it dawned on me that she had to work Saturdays because she was making up the time so she could be at her boy's school event. Now, as a kid, I didn't think of that. When I left home at 17, I didn't think of that. But boy, as a father, I look back and say, how did my mom do it? Oh, that's why she worked weekends. She made up for the time. Now, many of you mothers sit here with quote-unquote family secrets. Or you sit here with things that you know about your spouse that you have divorced from or is no longer in the picture that your children will never know about. Never know about. Because you love your kids so much and you've protected them. You've never badmouthed or slandered or made a bad image of the kid's father. There are things that you have held close to your heart that have been overwhelming, but yet you have been gracious like this virtuous woman, and you have raised your children to respect and to honor. And in doing so, you felt the sword of pain in your soul, but in doing so, you have taught your children integrity without them even knowing it. You've done some things that you're going to get great rewards for in heaven when you get there. You know, it says in the Proverbs, and I'm going to have this on the screen twice because it's very important. The 15th verse, it says this about the hard-working mother, that being a mother is hard. It says, she rises also while it is still or yet night. The sun hasn't risen. She gives meat to her household. She's preparing breakfast, getting everybody up, off to school, off to work, and a portion to her maidens. So now we know that she does have some help, and she feeds them too. Mother's work is hard. Mother's work is long hours. And mother's work is a lifetime, a complete lifetime. I had the joy for many years of being a friend of Ruth Graham. And she loved her children so much. And I remember I wrote her a letter about her boys that have been so kind to me over the years. And I was at the Oklahoma City bombing by the building when Mr. Graham and Mrs. Graham and Franklin came up with the state troopers. And I knelt down next to the golf cart with the security that she is with and gave her a hug. And she says, I carry your letter in my Bible. And it was just a letter I had written her years ago, just encouraging her sons how God was going to use them. And I watched with this woman who went to heaven a few years ago how much all of her children meant to her and how she prayed for them. I watched with my own mother. She got close to 92 years old. And one day I was sitting with her about 3 weeks before she went to heaven. A couple of years ago, and I was sitting down next to her reading the Bible, and I said, Mom, because this morning I got a text video from our daughter Megan, and she said, look what I woke up to, and there was her 8-year-old son standing in front of her camera that she took a quick shot of bringing her breakfast in the morning, because I was trying to get to him this week and say, don't forget Mother's Day, buddy. He did it on his own. I was very proud of him. I was just thinking of the joy that the day that Megan's youngest daughter was born, and I went to see my mom and I sat down. She's very dignified, and I was reading the scripture. I said, by the way, Mom, Megan just had a baby girl this morning, about 4 o'clock this morning. And she said, what? And I could see she was concerned. I said, Mom, Megan had a baby girl. Now, her mind was coming in and out, but she said, hold it, Megan, my granddaughter, had a baby girl? And I said, yes, Mom. And she said, now stop, just a minute. Doesn't she already have 2 boys? And I said, yes. He says, what has happened to you and your children? Have you become Catholics? What is going on? I said, no, I'm not a Catholic. But we just have lots of kids. And she says, now you listen to me. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. And I start praying for Horizon Christian Fellowship. Then I pray for you, all your children, and all your, at that time, 16 or 17 grandchildren. Then I pray for your brother and his kids. You tell those kids to quit having babies because I'm not getting up 1 minute earlier for you. And I thought, here she is explaining to me that part of her sacrifice in life that's quiet and behind the scenes is rising at 4 o'clock to pray for her sons, their spouses, and her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So, ladies, I acknowledge on behalf of all those that maybe have never acknowledged it, and the light bulb just went on, is that there are many things that you do as mother that you're going to get rewarded for, that God sees. And he's going to honor you for that in a very special way. She rises early. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax, and she works willingly with her hands. She doesn't grumble when she's sewing and darning the socks or fixing the torn skirt or hemming it or something. She works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She shops at Trader Joe's. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night. She gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field. She had an investment mind. Yeah, she's doing all this in her home, but she's investing. She considers it. That word means that she thought about this and looked at the positive and the negative and the net effect of it. She buys it. And then with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She goes out and gets in the garden and she works. Now she has a field she's investing in. The kids are going to go to college. And she's made this investment, but she, with her own hands, is planting orange trees and apple trees and citrus, and she can bring that in and squeeze the orange juice in the morning, all with her own hands. The second point, after it's hard being a mother and working, is another quote, unknown. And this person said, "I'd like to be the ideal mother, but I'm too busy raising my kids." Ruth Graham was interviewed when Franklin first began to become popular and take over his father's evangelistic ministry. And he was a rascal and caused some heartache growing up as a teenager. And I think his book was called Rebel with a Cause. And he was a feisty, but Miss Graham was very feisty, very extremely bright, but very feisty. And I forget who it was. It was Larry King or somebody was interviewing her and says, "Now, Mrs. Graham, you're a grandmother now, and I hear that Franklin has four children. Is that true?" And without missing a beat, she said, "Yes, and he deserves every one of them." Now, some of you mothers are waiting till the hour that your son or your daughter has kids, and then they can see what it's like. But moms are busy. They're busy. But we can always learn from our children. That's one thing that I've watched with my wife, a virtuous woman, a very virtuous woman, that you can always learn things from your children. We have a friend that lived here for many years, actually served here, is one of the directors for the up in Reno for the county for their technical services, and she sent me this. She's a mother and a hard worker, and this was from a lady named Kay Lay that wrote an article called "The Faith of a Child." On a recent gorgeous afternoon, my husband was eager to get out and enjoy the woods. The kids are always up for a hike and rush to put on long sleeve pants and rubber boots so they could tromp around with Dad. My young son, Skyler, was bound and determined that he'd be in full camouflage, and he found his camo pants with no problem. But his camo shirt wasn't where it was supposed to be, so he checked his pants drawer just in case it had found its way into the wrong spot, but to no avail. Then he did what any self-respecting six-year-old boy would do. "Mom!" So I went through the same procedure he had already been through and even checked his closet in case I'd been really ambitious that day and actually put the shirt away. But it was nowhere to be found. I heaved a big sigh and said, "Buddy, just pick a different shirt. I can't find that one." And that's when my boy, laying comfortably on the floor as he waited for me to search and find it, said, "Can I pray to God and ask Jesus first and then we'll look together again?" Okay, here's the part of the story I wish it could be different. This is the point I wish I could write with my response was enthusiastic. "Yes, Skyler, that's exactly what we need to do." But instead, I actually hesitated. I mean, I had just looked through all the entire drawers in the house and that shirt was not there. So I ended up softly saying, "Go ahead, buddy." And biting my tongue so I didn't add, "But don't be disappointed if we still can't find it." So I watched as my little man of faith rolled to his side, folded his hands, prayed silently with his precious eyes screwed shut. I said my own little prayer that went something like this: "God, this could be a faith breaker for this little boy. Please help us find that shirt." But I confess, I offered it up while already trying to decide how to phrase the lesson when the shirt still wasn't there. I can imagine Jesus shaking his head, saying to me, "Oh, ye of little faith," and smiling because he is about to astound me. And when Skyler said, "Amen," the shirt drawer was opened for a third time, and voila, there was the camo shirt. How did I miss that shirt? Sure, it was buried, I'm sure, but I had dug through the whole drawer. I couldn't believe it. I told Skyler with much ado that Jesus sure did hear his prayer and see his faith, but he simply put on his shirt and said, "Yep, thanks, Jesus," very matter-of-factly, but happily. He was not surprised. He expected it all along that Jesus would help him find that shirt. And I really hate that I didn't. Why are we like that sometimes? We know we're able to walk by faith and not by sight. We know to ask in expectation, right? Today's scripture illustrates exactly what happened. I didn't approach the throne as a little child. I didn't go to God believing like this child. That prevented me from entering into a higher realm in my relationship with God. Instead of Skylar's, "Thanks, Jesus, I knew you'd come through," approach, which just added another solid layer to his faith, I was lagging around, stupefied at what seemed a miracle. My faith increased too. But Skylar was in camaraderie mode, and I was just kind of a dumbfounded observer. I never want to lose my sense of awe, but I guess I want to move from being surprised from my prayers when they're answered to simply being appreciative and grateful, just like a little child. You know, you'll leave here in a few moments, and you'll say, "Well, for Mother's Day, we went to church. Mother's Day, we really splurged, and I took Mom to IHOP." You know, whatever this day is going to be for you, right? But I'd like you to think of this. You just saw over 24 young people from the Philippines. The odds for them to ever be on this stage is probably huge that they would make it here. But the odds that all of us would join together and want to know the things of God and love Him, and we would join together and we would be on this campus, the Lord planned all that. And some of you back in 1990 helped give an extra $2.30, and we ended up in Manila and meeting children living in Smoky Mountain. What are the odds that you would be the people that God would use to love and they would come back here and love you? When Philip was sitting in front of Corey Aquino, I said, "Tell Mrs. Aquino, Philip, about Smoky Mountain." And I've always said this in my mind. I watched God move a king, a queen. She slid forward on her little settee that she was sitting on in her room and said, "Philip, why would a young boy like you care to go to Smoky Mountain and see those children?" And as innocent as this little boy trying to find his camouflage shirt, he told a president of a world power, because they needed to know that Jesus loves them and that God will help them. And they did need to know that. For Mitz Lee and I to sit total strangers and her to find out that I was the pastor, but was one thing. I realized she didn't know who I was, and I'd heard about her, but to say on your behalf, thank you, because she had to battle even some friends and say, "No, they're good people. Let them stay there." That was a difficult thing for her. But then for both of us to hear Smoky Mountain in her office and then say, "I know Smoky Mountain. What can we do?" And she was looking for a bus and transportation, and you were looking for a way to love kids from anywhere. You see, being a mother is a very difficult job. And when we lived in Poway for 10 or 12 years, and the school bus stopped literally at our driveway, and all the kids from our neighborhood would come to our driveway, and then our 5 children would go out with them and play and talk and be silly, get on the bus and go. But maybe something we did might have been a little different than the other homes. There weren't very many mornings that we didn't, all 7 of us, get in a circle, and Sandy and I lay our hands on our children and pray, "Dear God, bless these children to be a good witness in the school today to their teachers and their friends and their students. God, use them to love their friends. Be with them." Now, I'm not saying that to say, "Oh, what a super spiritual family," because I'm a rascal and all of our kids are rascals, to say the least. But the point was this: God had shown me what leaves the front door of my house in the morning is what's going to affect San Diego. And if love comes out of my front door, love's going to go all through San Diego all day long. There's such a power that you women have that us men don't have, and that's the word mother. And all of our mothers probably had influences on us that were positive and negative, but yet God used them. Moms are busy, but we can always learn from our children like this lady. I was thinking of Ruth Graham. And then I got an email yesterday that her daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, is on Fox and Friends this morning. And her daughter, Rachel, and Ruth and Morrow are both going to be on Fox and Friends and be with Larry King. And they're going to talk about what was it like to be raised by a godly mother. And her daughters are going to tell America. And then Ann's going to tell America about her mother. And if Mrs. Graham were still here, she could tell us all about her mother that was very godly. And then about her grandmother that had such a huge influence. Ladies, you have such power in the media and the movies and the magazines and the desperate housewives and all the filthy things that can pollute you, to pull you down to a base animal level, are just working and working to destroy you from the special person you are as a woman. The word mother is probably the greatest honor on the globe, to be a mother. The circumstances can be great or they can be painful. But it says in Proverbs 31:17, she girds her loins with strength. She strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. That, okay, she's balanced. I realize my candle goes not out by night. There is no time clock I'm pushing. I'm doing all I can for my family. She lays her hands to the spindle, holds her hands to the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. She's not self-centered. The virtuous woman is reaching out to everybody. And she's aware, which is very cool, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she receives forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. They'll be taken care of. And she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Otherwise, people look at her and say, where do you shop? But she has a budget that she works on. The final point, as we know that being a mother is difficult and that it is a busyness, is all that I am, from President Abraham Lincoln, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. That's an amazing statement for that man who was assassinated. He was taught to read from the Bible by the fireplace light. His mother encouraged him to memorize the Proverbs, to have wisdom, to understand the stories of the Old Testament, of David taking on Goliath, to let his little mind be fertile with these huge stories that there isn't anything that man can't accomplish because it says so here in the Bible. It told him to be pure and chaste and to respect his neighbor and to love God. And his mother poured into him through the Holy Scriptures the truth of eternity, that when he became a grown-up man, he sat by the same fireplace and taught himself law and became an attorney. We must be, finally, as kids, if we're 90 years old or 9 years old, we must be thankful and grateful to our mothers and to the God who created them. He'll bless you for that. In fact, the Bible says, honor your mother and father, for it is the only commandment that promises longevity of life. Her husband is known in the gates, verse 23 said, when he sits among the leaders of the community, the elders of the land. She makes fine linen. She sells it. She's got a business going on the side. She delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. People look at her and say, you can trust that lady. That's an honest woman. Boy, is she a hard worker. Have you ever met her children? They're just wonderful. They're yes, sir, yes, ma'am. They're respectful. They're very patriotic. They serve the country. You can see them sitting with their parents around the scripture. She opens her mouth with wisdom. When the virtuous woman speaks, people say, that's a wise woman. And in her tongue is a law of kindness. Kindness. What a wonderful thing to hear from a mother or from a woman. Kind words coming forth. I had a daddy call me from across the country yesterday, broken in tears. And his teenage son, and this daddy happened to be a minister, had just gotten in trouble with a young woman, and both of them were devastated and broken, and they had premarital sex, and he had to chastise his son, and the son and the young woman wanted to go before their church and apologize to the congregation that we made a stupid mistake, and he wanted to know what. Two thoughts came to my mind about God's kindness that this mother would have and that this daddy and his wife had. One, when you're 19 years old, you're not always firing on all eight cylinders. You don't always make the right decision. So the point being that you don't want this 19-year-old young man and woman to be 49 or 59 coming to a church someday saying, you know, I was a pastor's son, or I went to a church and I had sex with the pastor's son, and boy, did they destroy us. That wouldn't be God. God is a kind God. If any man glories, let him glory in this, Jeremiah 9:24 says, that he understands and knows me, that I delight in exercising loving kindness. God's a kind God and a loving God. You stop and you think that this woman has got kindness and wisdom, and in her tongue is the law. She looks well to the ways of her family. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up, and mom is called blessed. I have the greatest mom in town. When they're on the playground or wherever they are, oh, you'll like my mom. My mom's really cool. And her husband also praises her. In conclusion, the proverb says, many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. What a statement for a woman to say that as a mother, you've excelled them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but our children are being taught to be little models and sex toys. It's vanity to not develop the spirit, but to put it all on the flesh. Vanity. A woman that fears the Lord, she will be praised. She'll be praised. Miss Lee gave me the phone when she was talking to a lady named Blessy. I thought, Blessy, what a great name, Blessy. And I was reading the San Diego Union this morning, and it said, Blessy lives in Escondido, and she has all 27 people in her home. And when I heard about this, and she said, well, talk to Pastor McIntosh. He would like to help. And she handed me her cell phone, and I wanted to say, Blessy, you're a Blessy. you're a blessing, Blessy. And she said, oh, praise the Lord. This is answer to all of our prayers. I said, that's exactly why we're here. We're all here to answer the Lord's prayers and to bring blessings to people. Favor, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her. You know, there's a Jewish proverb that says that God could not be everywhere. Therefore, he made mothers. They're everywhere. I thank the Lord for my dear mother. She endured so much. I watched her as a boy and as a teenager and a young adult. It was a rough life. But she put up with so much from me all of my life because I was a weirdo. I appreciate her perseverance, the trouble I'd get in as a teenager. And I also, as I grew up and began to find out more about my past in my childhood, I thank her for her desire to shield me and my brother Kent from the harsh realities of life that we grew up with an alcoholic, abusive father. I thank her for loving me when it was difficult to love a boy or a man like me. I thank the Lord for the greatest example of the virtuous woman that I know in the world, the ultimate all-time mother whose children truly rise up and call her blessed. They call her daily from around the country. They honor her. They send her cards. Her name is Sandra Krill Riddett McIntosh. She's my wife. And the honorable mother of our five children and the grandmother of our 18 grandchildren. So I'd like to say in front of you, Happy Mother's Day, Sandy, who has a pretty bad back this week and isn't able to be up and around today. I love her, and all of her children rise up and call her blessed. So I honor her, and I honor my mother today. And then thirdly, I'm sorry, I honor all you mothers that are here today. But I'd like you to just stand right now reverently as we close. And I'd like to have a moment of just quietness where you could say, Dear God, I wish to thank you for my mother. Now, I know that for some of you, it may have been rough with you and your mother. Or your mother wasn't in the picture growing up. Or even today, you may not get along with your mother. And others of you see nothing but just wonderful things about mom. But if you honor your mother, God will bless you. He'll give you longevity. And if you will realize that God has used this particular mother to birth you, and you thank him, you may take a whole different understanding of mom. Thank her if she's with you today, and hug her, and bless her, and do what more people do at any other day in all of the United States of America, and that's make a long-distance call. Mother's Day has more long-distance calls than any other day. Call mom and say, I love you and I thank you. The only phone record that's bigger than that is Father's Day, which holds the record of being the most collect telephone calls in the history of the phone company. Father, as we stand before you reverently, we humbly bow our hearts before you and we thank you for our mothers. We think of Jeremiah that you said, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, Jeremiah, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So, Father, when we realize that you knew who we were before our mothers carried us in the womb, we know there's no accident. And we would like to just say thank you for your choice. And we'd like to thank you for the lessons, the harsh lessons, the great lessons, or even like this mother trying to find the camel shirt for her 6-year-old, the spiritual lessons. We thank you for these women that carry this title, mother. May you honor them this day. May you pour out your blessings upon them and strengthen them. And may we be good representatives of their well-intentioned thoughts and ideas of when they gave birth and raised us. Bless these women, and in many cases, bless the memory. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.